we should be on air. There should be little thingies there. Okay. And welcome to another episode of Open Up and Bleed. Here with your host, Eugene Kotlarenko. And we have a very special guest that we always have a special guest. And this week is no different. Our guest is... Go for it, guest.
Hi, I'm Liz.
Liz Lee. Okay. And she's taking a selfie right now. Did you ever... I know you're familiar with the dance, the popular dance viral song, Let Me Take a Selfie. But you know the song I'm referring to?
Hell yeah, I do.
Yeah, but do you know the popular spoof of that, Let Me Take a Dick Pic?
Oh, I don't.
This was, you know, when
Ashamed
something
to say.
When something goes viral, it creates memes. You know what that is?
I am familiar, yes. Very familiar, in fact.
So,
big fan.
And then these memes kind of like riff on the original thing that went viral. And Let Me Take a Dick Pic was one of them. And so I recommend it to you.
Thank you so much.
You don't have a dick, do you?
No, actually.
Ever think about that?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, I just found out yesterday, actually, that there's something called a sheepie.
Okay.
Or it's like kind of like a funnel. It's like kind of like a beer bong for your vagina.
Right, you put it onto your
and there's
pussy,
like a hose.
And then it's like you're peeing like a man.
Yeah, and you can stand up and then point the hose in whatever direction. And
Three easy orders of $19.99, that can be yours.
God, I'm interested.
Are you going to buy one?
I would love to. I just now found out about it. I haven't had time to do any research, but...
But do you have the cash? I picked you up to come here, right? Because your car is straight up impounded.
Straight up, yes, that's true.
And you owe the government mad money.
Oh, mad money. Well, I owed them, so I got pulled over, and the cop...
Oh, you got pulled over? This wasn't like it was on the
street?
I got
pulled over, and they were like, your car looks like it's stolen, because I didn't have like my registration.
Oh,
he was like,
tags.
You got to watch out for that, because next time... The cop will probably run up on you with like guns and shit because there's like a different protocol for like stolen vehicles.
Yeah, because it's you have like the year 2014 on your tags.
2012, honestly.
Are you bad at life stuff? Like, why didn't you get that done?
I'm really bad at life stuff. Is it kchung.org?
Yeah, .org. www.kchung.org. You know, it doesn't. This is getting archived. So, and you know what? I'll just put my phone in the middle, and then it'll get double archived. I'll memo this starting now.
Sick.
So in case something goes awry on the station, and you should tell people to text you to make sure that it's on air. Because I'm sure all your buddies are listening.
All two.
So what are you going to do about that? So so the cop pulled you over and then he said, hey, by the way, I'm just going to check your license.
Yeah. So, but I didn't have my license on me. I had my old Texas license.
Are you from Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't grow up in LA?
No.
But because I mentioned the school crossroads in my car, you thought I grew up in LA.
Yeah.
But you're aware of what the school crossroads is.
Yeah.
But you didn't grow up in LA.
My boyfriend...
went there.
I don't know if he went there, but he grew up in L.A., and I remember hearing about it. I think my friend Camille went there.
Sure.
When Leonardo DiCaprio and, like, Mila Jovovich went there.
You think Camille is that age?
I know Camille hung out with him, like,
Camille, what's
when
her
he
last
was
name?
Young. Camille Garmendia.
Okay, got it.
She's, like,
Is she,
the
like,
queen.
A fashion icon?
She's a stylist.
Right. Does she live in New York?
She lived in New York for a while. She... lives in LA now.
Do people like styling you?
You know, I just did something and the director just had me bring in a bunch of my clothes.
Your own stuff.
Yeah.
Because they wanted the real Liz Lee on the scene.
I guess so.
But did you like that or would you rather have someone like dress you up? Let's contextualize this.
Okay.
For me. You are an actress?
Kind of.
Okay.
You're
a model?
Not really.
Okay. You're a personality in the social media era?
Yeah, definitely that.
Okay, so we got that.
I'm just posting this up. I'm
great. You're doing such a great job of multitasking. Me, I can't do any multitasking. Like, a lot of people like to, quote unquote, listen to music while they work. But I can't listen to lyrics and work at the same time. www.kchungradio.org.
Oh, shit.
You can edit your Instagram, I believe.
You totally can't, even.
I can. My initial post. I can, but that's because I have an iPhone 5.
Yes.
It's okay. Like, this is about us. This isn't for all your fans. But maybe it is. Who would you say is a bigger fan of you? Your mom or your boyfriend? Or your BFF? Do you have a BFF?
I do. I mean, I have multiple BFFs, I think.
But in your mind, is one, like, is someone from, like, the olden time superior to, like, a more recent one? Or is the recent one more superior?
No, I think the recent ones, I think, like, recently my definition of, like, what a best friend is and, like, what a friend is has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And, like...
Like, what did it used to be?
I don't know. I think it was a little bit more superficial before.
Like, we party together. We have so much fun partying and, like, getting fucked up.
And getting fucked up, I think, for me, was, like, I believed it to be very bonding.
Social. Like, there's, like, a social quality.
Yeah. I remember the first time I got drunk, it was with this girl that I hated. And, like, this girl who was coming to spend the night at my house invited her.
At what age? Like, 15?
Yeah. 15, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then that girl couldn't show up, and this, like, evil bitch showed up at my house
instead by herself,
yeah,
without even the buffer of your mutual friend.
But she brought a bunch of Four Loko.
Oh wow. Back in the day.
Yeah, so we just, like, sat in my bed and just, like, passed these cans of Four Loko. We were just, like, chugging them, and, like,
and then after, like, 2.5 cans, you started,
I was
bonding.
Like, yeah, we were like, oh my god, best, like, this is what friendship is. Like, I grew up as, like, an only child, like, this total awkward loner.
What were you into when you were 13? As a loner.
God.
Well, I mean, like, you had to be into something if you were awkward and a loner. Like, did you listen to the Pixies?
No, I was not that cool.
Right, you weren't
cool. I listened to country music.
Texas. What part of Texas are you from?
I love 90s country.
Uh-huh.
About an hour south of Dallas.
Uh-huh. What's the name of Leanne Rimes? You like her?
I love her.
Right. Was she your favorite when you were 13?
No.
Did you like Dixie Chicks? Who did you
Hell
like the
yeah,
best?
Yeah, I like the Dixie Chicks. I like George Strait the best.
But that's an old-timer.
And I like Jody Messina.
I don't know what that is. That's too esoteric for my urban blood.
Very empowering.
So your best friends used to be people that you enjoyed partying with. But now a BFF is defined as...
Somebody that I can, like, call and be vulnerable with, and that will, like, show up for me when I need that.
But you presumably know, like, that doesn't happen to you more than, like, once every 2 weeks.
No. What do you mean? Like, I call someone and, like, talk about what I'm, like, going through and, like, check in and see what they're going through at least once a day with multiple people.
At least once a day.
Yeah.
Do you think that's healthy? Like, I do a really good job of suppressing all of my issues and anxieties and then try to deal with them by being silent and trawling social media and trying to be creative, quote unquote, via writing and or conceiving of things.
I mean, that's an outlet. I need to bounce my ideas off of other people.
You're a social creative person.
Well...
Your creativity comes from sort of like a social... your mind works better.
I mean, I wasn't referencing, like, creative stuff. I mean, I'm talking about, like, in general, like, anything that goes through, like, my inner monologue is very, like, insidious and just wrong.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times I like, believe it.
It's negative.
Yeah, totally. Very negative. Dark, scary forest inside
of my
mind.
Okay, so
you
had, like, a show, a television program on the channel called Music Television, right? And... Isn't the premise of... Correct me if I'm wrong, because I watched half of one episode. But isn't the premise of this show largely based around your inner monologue?
Yes,
so
actually.
Was that an artificial thing? It must have been, at some point, an outgrowth of an actual, you know, decision you made or lifestyle you had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people in the show were, like, all my real friends, and, like, we interacted with each other in, like, an authentic way. The evil, like, my nemesis in the show is, like, my actual nemesis.
That girl that you got drunk with on the bed.
No.
Was she on the show with you?
I never got drunk with this girl. No, that girl was not on the show.
She didn't make it to age 18 or whenever you had the show.
I think she was, like, in rehab by that point or something.
Yeah, that's what happens when it's Four Loko time on the bed at age 14. By 18, one of you's in rehab and one of you's on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think she ended up in rehab and you ended up on MTV? What do you think is the difference?
You know, I don't know. I had, like, stints of, like, being able to get my shit together. I mean, I guess...
something in your mind, right? It wasn't like a luck thing. It was like you were curious.
I think it was a luck thing.
You do?
Yeah.
Because she was also like curious and confident and ambitious and had a cool
perspective on things.
Don't undersell yourself here. I'm not trying to compliment you too hard. I mean, you have this like weird tattoo.
This one, that huge one.
Oh,
so bad.
I know. Are you so embarrassed?
I'm so
embarrassed. When did you get that? At like the apex of your partying or at the apex of like, I'm just moving to LA. I'm so cool.
At the apex of like, it was like right after I lost my show because I couldn't ever get tattoos or get a haircut or anything.
That was smart of them to not let you do that. And then you're like, I'm gonna rebel. Like,
yeah,
fuck
totally.
This. Because you were what at that point you were what, 22, 21?
No, I was like 20.
So when did the show start? What was it called?
The show started, I was like around 16 when they started like
filming you.
When I sent in the tape that I had to send in this tape to this like casting thing because I was in a broadcast journalism class, and that was, like, one of our projects.
Oh, shit.
Because our teacher had found something on some message board and, like, had us all send
that's
a video.
That's funny. Do you like that teacher?
I hate her. She's an evil bitch. Yeah. I mean, I don't still hate her, I guess. There's, like, probably a little bit of resentment there still, but...
Don't you... you think she manipulated you? No.
I
think it's good for mentors
really
to challenge
I think it's fine.
People or older people.
But she
to,
was
like
actually so she's not smart.
Twisted. She was twisted and dumb.
She's so dumb. She was actually
so anyway,
super dumb.
So you sent in this thing via this assignment, right? And they saw it and they were like, this girl is not going to be extra number four. This girl needs like her own show. She's
well,
special.
Well, it didn't start off that way. They were interviewing like a bunch of other people because the tape I just was like some... you know, like most of my work in that class was just like something I like goofed off and
riff.
Like didn't even like try for it. Just like videotaped myself being like goofy or like whatever, just so I could turn something
natural.
And then they like interviewed a bunch of other people, and then they eventually like these other girls, and they mentioned me, and so they interviewed me and like came to my house, and then this interview process is like casting process eventually turned into just them interviewing me and not interviewing like anybody else.
And then they
really
turned that into a show.
Yeah, it was never meant to. I mean, even the rest of the cast that was on the show knew that I would be like a big voice on the show, but they didn't know it was my show.
Yeah, they thought it was an
until,
ensemble
like,
piece.
Yeah,
until they called it like Liz's show. Definitely not an ensemble.
Yeah.
Wow. But you knew like when they were like asking you, like, oh, like, is your clit
no,
pierced?
I
and,
didn't
like, tell
really...
us about your mom. And, like, tell us about, is your butthole pierced?
I didn't really know until they told me. I mean, I knew, like, maybe halfway through shooting the season.
Right. Did you see
they
any
told me
edited
the title.
Episodes?
Like,
did you have any say over that? No, right?
No, I didn't have any say over anything. And, you know, like, it was all some... they have some weird, like, manipulation model...
Yeah.
You know, like, they, like, each kid on the show gets, like, their gets assigned, like, this producer. Because there are a bunch of producers on
and
the show.
And you had the main producer.
And I had the executive producer, yeah. Right. And...
Buna Murray.
Jessica Antonini.
Okay, whatever.
Close.
You know who I'm referring to.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other producers, like, aren't supposed to, like, you know, mingle with... like kids outside of, you know, their assigned kids.
But Antonini, she would be taking you to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh yeah, totally getting like, me whatever I wanted. Like, I mean, took me on a trip to New York to like go party with like all the other. There's this thing called Upfronts.
I'm sure you're familiar. Yeah, yeah. So that's then, like when they kind of like sell the show to advertisers every year.
Yeah, because they sell like.
Well, they have to bring you. You're the show, right?
Yeah, and then after that, all of the like. Talent has a talent party.
Yeah.
And God, we were, it was just getting like wasted out of my mind with like Snooki from
Snooki.
Like,
oh my God.
Snooki was my girl.
Snooki to you is a fun person.
So nice.
Really nice.
So fun. Way more low key than, you know, the show. Made her yeah.
Me. Well, that stuff's edited, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a different question.
Yeah.
You're in a school, high school, 10th grade.
Yeah.
Snooki's in 11th grade, same school. Neither of you guys are on TV. Are you going to be friends with Snooki? You probably wouldn't have ended up friends with Snooki except for the environment.
Not really. I mean, maybe I would have partied with her.
Would have ended up at the same party like once every two weeks on the weekend.
Totally.
And then Snooki's getting drunk vodka. You like tequila.
I like vodka.
You guys both like vodka. Same handle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sip it back and forth. Hope she doesn't have herpes.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have liked me. I feel like, well, in the environment I grew up in Texas, I mean, it's still like time stopped in like some like John Hughes movie. Like
right,
they're still like jocks and like
yeah, for sure. Like, it's Breakfast Club for real.
Yeah, like. I was definitely...
So before the TV show, were you a loser?
Yeah, totally.
You were a loser.
I mean, I was cool when I was like 14 or 15 and I was like in sports. And then like I started drinking cough syrup like during like off season while we were like doing conditioning.
You drank it because it was like, is that what they call lean?
No, I was drinking Delsym or taking Coricid and cough and cold.
What gave you the idea to do that? Rap music?
No.
Your local friends?
Local friends, yeah.
Who were like, this is fun.
Yeah.
We should do this.
Yeah.
And then you said, let me try it. And then you're like, oh, it's off season. I need some more cough syrup.
Well, and also I would like to do it at school because then I wouldn't have to worry about being around my parents.
I see.
And I would be, there's like a less of a chance of me getting caught.
Did it make school like unbearable or funner?
Way more fun.
Because things were loopy.
Yeah, totally. And I just like didn't care. Everything was like fine.
We're on a very long tangent right now to arrive at your psychology at getting that tattoo. I just want you to remember that. Because we do have to end up back there. So, okay. So, did you stop going to school at a certain point because you're on the show? Or was school part of the show?
No, school was like part of the show. I mean, that was always like a main priority.
But they weren't allowed to film in the school, were they? Or
they were certain times that were scheduled. They couldn't film like in the classes. And if they did film in the classes, they had to get permission. But eventually... Kids were like jealous and like said that it was like disrupting their learning environment or something. So then we would have to like stage, you know.
Fake. Wait, did they have fake kids they cast?
Yeah, there would be like kids who not, like, I mean, kids who also went to the school. They would just like, after school was over in the summer when we had to do pickups, you know. Right.
They would be classmates of yours.
Yeah, we would, like, use a classroom and sit around, and then, like, whatever conversation I was having with what other main character, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But these other main characters, they were also kids from your town, or they were, like, more a cast from, like, L.A. and
Chicago? No, they were kids from my town that I, like, actually knew and had, like, relationships with. The only relationship that was, like, totally manifested by MTV was the main one that I still get asked about every day on like every Instagram comment.
Oh, which damn, is I have like, no clue what you're talking about, so tell me.
It's the like the love
affair.
Yeah, with this boy. Was he like,
hunky?
I did not think he was hunky. I knew him. I did like my first drug with him in like pre-AP biology when I was like 15.
Oh,
like,
so, but he's also a local kid.
Yeah.
And so you have a bias. Like, you don't think he's hunky, but if all of America thought he was hunky,
yeah,
then
girls
you're
loved him.
Wrong.
He's like very much like a Justin Bieber type.
Right.
But he lost a lot of weight too. You know, I knew him when he
what do you
like
mean, now or
like,
on the when he was on the show.
Yeah.
You
like,
knew
I just
him
always,
when he was fatter.
Yeah.
And you're a fattest, like a, right? You're a weightist. You're only drawn.
Not even.
Your current boyfriend. Would you say he's mildly overweight or would you say he's a good weight?
I wouldn't say he's maybe mildly overweight.
But you like that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I dated somebody that was, like, definitely overweight for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And it turned you on.
I don't know that it turned me on, but I think that... I don't know.
Like, certain things that I was not attracted to when I was younger, I love now. Like broccoli.
Yeah.
So maybe because all of America told you this, like, hunky, slightly chunky boy was hot, and you're like, no, shut up, America. He's just a loser. But then, now that you're not on the show anymore, all you do is kind of chubby chase.
I mean, I think I've always chubby chased. Like, any serious relationship I've been in, even my first one with this guy, Jason Blaine, like, in high school.
Ooh, that sounds like a mildly chubby name.
Yeah.
Jason Blaine.
Jason Blaine and then Justin Johnson.
Ooh, wow. We really like Texas names.
Who leaked my nudes, by the way.
Recently?
Yeah.
As like, part of the Fappening?
The past
or just
year.
His own
during
problem?
The Fappening, yeah.
He was like, I gotta get in on this.
Yeah. It was awful.
And they were nudes from when you were 15,
16? Yes, yes.
And
so
you're more
it's like technically child
now.
Porn. Totally. It was, I'm not.
It is child porn because he's not 15 anymore.
Yeah.
Now, if he
well,
was
he
15,
wasn't 15 at the time either.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
He was over 18.
I was like 16.
Whatever.
It doesn't
and
matter.
16 is legal in Texas,
yeah.
right?
No.
In some states.
17, it's legal.
Some states. Like Jared from Subway. His whole thing is like,
ooh.
His whole thing is like, she's like, she was 16. That's legal where I live.
Oh.
So, okay, you're on the show. So this relationship wasn't real with Biology Guy.
No, I mean, we tried to hook up once.
You tried to make it happen.
Yeah, we tried to hook up once, like, in between the first and the second season. Because, like, you know, kids, like, freaked out about it. And they're like, oh, what's happening with you and Bryson? What's going to happen with you and Bryson? Like,
good name.
Kids, like.
Better than Justin.
Bryson Gilreath.
Oh, God, that's perfect.
And he, yeah.
Was he from a richer family than yours or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, totally.
Like, that sounds like a country club family.
Yeah.
Bryson Gilreath.
Yeah.
And your family was not country club, right? Or they were?
I mean, technically, we lived on a golf course and were members of a country club.
Technically, you lived in a country club.
Yeah.
Was that part of the show? Like, did you
no,
and him ever
really.
Walk on the golf course, like, at night,
well,
holding
maybe.
Hands or something? And then he would be like, Liz, I think
yeah, there was
I
a
love
scene
you.
Where we were, like, shooting, where we were, like, hitting golf balls. But they were, like, Barbie heads.
You were
oh, God,
them?
So contrived. That was totally MTV's idea, I must say. A lot of the, like, edgier things that they, like, they were totally stuff
like,
they came
put
up with.
These balls in your mouth.
That
not, sort of vibe?
Not quite.
So in order to be this fake version of some variation on you, you had to process and deal with it via partying and some level of like escape abuse.
Yeah.
Like substance abuse.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you think put you there or was
totally I mean, you know, I always have been doing that. I don't think it was
right.
like totally
the
show's
before
fault.
The show
yeah,
showed up.
Totally. Like yeah. I did like so much ecstasy before the show showed up. I got like busted. My mom busted me with cocaine once.
You're wearing basically like a raver top right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's true. It's a bathing suit. I was swimming.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So I'm just saying the effects of the MDMA still have not worn off 8 years later. You were swimming today?
Yeah.
Where?
My friend Sam's pool.
Cool, is it nice?
In Hancock Park. It's so nice.
Damn, can I come?
I
would
totally
like to
resent him for being that young and being in like a mansion.
Does he swim every day?
Do I don't know. I know he swam like twice in the past like 7 days.
You did.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
more.
You know, I think you don't really appreciate what you have till
yeah,
someone else shows up and says, "Oh my God, your pool it looks great." He's
yeah.
like, "I guess." Getting a lot of texts there.
What? Are you just?
I'm asking you.
Not like a lot.
If you're gonna process them, you'll have to do it on air. You'll have to, like, read them. And
oh,
then...
my God.
What?
My boyfriend is listening.
Good. Do you have
and
any message for
he's
him?
He's upset about the mildly overweight comment.
No, come on. He knows you love him.
I love him.
Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. We have skewed concept of these things in culture. You know, like, our culture right now. I don't think I'm saying anything new by saying, hey... We have a fucked up concept of body image.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're, like, a representative of the culture.
Well, I mean, I'm a yoga teacher also.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you do that, actually?
Do I do yoga
do
or teach
yoga?
Yoga yeah, totally.
How many times a week?
Well, before...
Do you have a class or are you private?
Well, I do... I'm on a sub list and I do work study at a studio. Mm-hmm. And then I have a private client that I was teaching, like, 5 days a week.
What do you think would make someone feel healthier? Doing yoga 4 to 6 times a week or eating really like healthy food, like only beans and like fruits? Choose one.
I have to choose
one. Like either your lifestyle is like, I eat like beans, fruits, and other healthy things, and I live a very sedentary lifestyle on a computer, like my lifestyle, or I do yoga 4 to 6 times a week,
and I eat
Big Macs and fucking Jack in the Box, like your lifestyle.
Yoga, definitely. On like a very, on like a physiological level, I mean, the chemicals that are released in your brain when you're like engaging in that kind of activity, like, make you feel better.
You're referring to the activity of eating a Big Mac.
No. I mean, that too, though. I mean, that releases chemical, like eating burgers doesn't, what's the same chemical that's like released? Serotonin?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Dopamine. No, I think serotonin, actually. So, I mean, now that we've established that you easily get hooked on stuff as an escape, are you concerned about all these burgers that you're eating?
I've just been corrected that Sam swims every day.
Oh, great. See, so that's like the sort of important information that I think we want to establish here. So Sam is appreciative of his great pool.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm going to throw this question out there that can be answered at any point in the next 30 minutes.
All right.
Can I swim there?
That's a... Okay.
It's fine. They're listening, totally. So they can answer whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they can even be there when I'm swimming there. Okay. It doesn't have to be like some weird time when it's only my pool. Yeah. Okay. So to answer these, maybe we can use this as a public service announcement here, because you get asked this almost every day, you said.
Okay. All right.
Did you have a relationship with Bryson Gilbreath? Is that his name?
It's Gilreath, and right. I'm kind of afraid to like discuss like what happened between us.
Oh, because boyfriend's you feel listening. Like the allure. Oh, I see. So it's not like a public persona thing. It's like, but don't you feel like your boyfriend knows whatever you're about to say or not?
I don't know.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your past. To him, like, it's the second I met Liz was the second Liz was born.
I hope so.
You guys don't ever talk about your past?
We have, yeah.
And you talk about his past, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. Well, so me and Bryson, like, you know, people were, like, totally obsessed with this, like fake thing between us.
Right.
So we, between the first
and second
season.
Right, you tried to make it happen.
We didn't try to, like, emotionally make it happen, but we had drank, like, a bunch of 40s. Uh-huh. And, went back to my apartment, and then I was locked out of my apartment, and I had to go pee really bad, and I couldn't make it to a bathroom. So I did not pee in his mouth, but I did pee my pants.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Went to like wash it off in the apartment hot tub.
The communal.
From which he joined me, and
you guys took it from there. Do you think he has a urine fetish?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys tried to make it happen. Yeah. You maybe did,
It didn't work.
Yeah, and that happens. You guys didn't have chemistry.
It was weird. Like,
if you go back
make
to
it.
The golden age of Hollywood,
yeah, okay.
You know, the studios always tried to manufacture these couples. They would put them in the movies together, and then the sort of gossip mongers who worked for the studios generating publicity would say that they were a couple, that they were getting married, all this stuff, you know? And then when they went out to the premieres, they would have to pretend like they loved each other, but they really, like, didn't give a fuck, and frankly, oftentimes didn't like each other.
And we had to have, like, secret relationships because, you know, like, while we were filming the second season, we didn't want to give away.
Right. You don't want to jeopardize the authenticity of the drama.
So we would have, like, secret lovers and, you know, we would still have to do kiss scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then did you guys break up at the end of the second season or something? How many seasons were there of the show?
I think it was, like, ambiguous. And I think that, and everybody's always asking,
how many seasons were there?
2 seasons.
And there was going to be a third. But you got too wild. Liz gone wild.
I mean, I'm not really sure what happened. I mean, we did have like great ratings for our time slot. I think we were making like 2.5s even.
Yeah. For MTV and the
in the latter
late
2000s.
2010, whatever aughts. Yeah. That's important.
I mean, it was good. It was good ratings. I mean, it's like, you know.
And it made you feel good that you had a popular show, of course, right?
Yeah, of course. It made me feel...
And you were making some bank.
Yeah.
Some cheese.
I was getting so much validation. I was getting like 200 tweets like every 10 minutes. Like I just like, I was just like.
That must feel really good.
It felt really good. It was just like validation constantly. But you know what? None of that really stuck with me. Like all of that, all of those comments were like kind of just like the same comments over and over again. But there was a lot of hate. I mean, like, oh. Jezebel did an article about how, like, I was too pretty to act like this maligned character.
Right, right, right.
And, like, you know, I think like, the New York not
entitled,
Times...
You're not entitled to be insecure and anxious because you conform to a standard of beauty that is popular in culture.
Or, like, I participated in, like, nerd culture and, like... Uh-huh. You know, there's, like, this weird thing where they're, like, you're too pretty to have these interests. Like, that somehow has something to do with, like...
Or the corporate, like, whatever...
And you're a girl. So, like, how could you...
How could you be a nerd? Well, that's just sexist.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot like, of that. Or, you know, there might be a valid criticism in that the corporate, like, whatever machinery that saw that they could cash in on this, like, burgeoning interest in, like, nerd-style culture would like to use you, a person who is conventionally attractive, to sort of, like, capitalize on that because you could give them a very normal, like, satisfaction for a normal viewer, but also access to this sort of nerd interest.
Sure. I mean, it's Viacom. I'm sure there was...
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, they can't level that on you as, like, a practical critique, but at the same time, like, you probably have an awareness of the way in which... you're manipulated as a cog in a certain corporate machine. Not to get political here.
I mean, I was also, like, a teenager.
Exactly.
And I, you know, there would be moments where they'd be like, do you can... Oh, like, I... Going back to, like, the weird sort of, like, producer, like...
Dynamic.
Like, manipulative tactics they would use. It was very good cop, bad cop. So, like, when they would want me to do something in a scene, you know, they would be like, here, we'll just do some takes, like, what's with what's natural. And maybe you could, like... try this maybe you know, that was like what the first season was like they sort of eased into it, like, maybe why don't you try this
and
way?
They would always do that thing
and then they'd be like that. We probably won't use this take, but you know what, I mean, we'll always use like the more natural stuff, but maybe just try this. And you know, I hate that they want you to do this, is so annoying. Like, I'm your buddy, like, I'm your girl, like, I would never ask, but just like do it for me, you know, like I'm totally with you, like, I think this is so lame. But like,
would you prefer it if they said though, Liz, like, this is all bullshit, you're an actress, like, do this shit for us? Would you prefer if they were straight? Do you think you
I think so, because I think when
you
would have
listened, you think, like, you did know, they need to manipulate you?
I mean, at the end of the day, at a certain point, I was like, I know that you're manipulating me.
Yeah, right.
And I had, like, an entertainment lawyer and a manager and stuff. And I, like, realized what I was worth and that, like, I was the main character in the show.
So you're just going to roll with that and you're going to own
it.
And,
like, they needed me. Yeah. So, like, if you need, like, you know, if you want me to be in this, then, like, I became very difficult and, like, my ego sort of took the reins, but, like...
But do you think when it did, like, that was for the better? Like, you kind of guided the show into a place that you felt was more authentic?
No, because at the end of the day, you know, once that manipulation shit stopped working on me, they were just, like, straight up, like, okay, well, do you want your own TV show or not? Like, do you want to get paid for this? Do you want, like, bonuses? Like, we are coming up with these ideas because they are, tested, tried, and true through, like, focus groups in Vegas.
Right.
Like,
fuck.
We're, like, damn. Like, this is what the audience liked. Like, based on, like, previous episodes and, like, this is... These are the parts of you that the audience liked.
Oh, my
like,
God.
You have to keep that hair color. You have to wear lipstick in every single
scene. That
must
have made you a little crazy.
Made me totally crazy.
And then you were like... Fuck it, the show's over. I need a huge fucking tattoo on my
arm. Oh, yeah.
Arm.
I got, like, a giant tattoo. I got, like...
See, I told you
I cut my hair crazy.
How'd
like,
you cut
dyed it?
It
blue. I had, like, the most awful baby bangs, which is, like, really horrible for, like, a big, wide, round face, let me tell you.
You basically did what every young girl who's between the ages of 19 and 21 does when they go to art school. They become basically like a frumpy,
couldn't do that at art school.
I'm not saying you did, I'm just saying like you did what happens. Like, I'm not pretty, I'm like gross.
I mean, yeah.
But I don't know,
a little bit of that. I think I was just I was just like rebelling. I mean, yeah, I was just rebelling.
So what did you think? So then the show's over. What did you think was going to happen, I don't want to say career-wise, but, like, creatively? Like,
well,
what
I mean, honestly, like, I kind of knew it was, like, a death knell. Like, I mean, how many, like, MTV reality stars are you, like, having this, like, promising, wonderful career? Like, how many people are you like, oh, it's good to see that, like, Snooki is doing well.
Yeah, but
like,
did you consider yourself, like, on that tip? Like, did you think, like, I am, like, Jersey Shore? Or did you think,
I definitely
think,
didn't
like,
think, I thought it was, like, I don't know if smarter is a word, but...
Smarter is definitely a word in the English language, if that's what you're asking.
I don't know. I definitely don't think it was, like...
You thought you were more aware of, like, how you're being manipulated, and you were saying, okay, like, I'm going to ride this until it doesn't feel good anymore, and then I'm going to move on to, like, the next thing.
I guess there's, like, people like Lauren Conrad from The Hills and, like, Whitney Port. Like, they parlayed their stuff into, like, you know,
their
brands or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I thought that we would have more seasons. I would have more time to, like, develop that.
Uh-huh.
But by the time the show ended, you know, like...
It was more abrupt than you thought.
Yeah, and, like... And I also, like, didn't handle it well enough. Like, I had opportunities were given to me.
Like what?
Like, you know, to just, like, have, like, a... Be, like, a talking head. Like, that sort of... Those sort of opportunities for MTV, for, like, MTV News.
Like,
or,
like,
talk shows.
Like, show up on VH1 and, like, do, like, I love the 90s.
There was, like, oh, my God, I totally did one of those. And
you
I
did.
Was so high. And I've never seen it because I'm so embarrassed because I don't...
Has anyone ever, like, tweeted at you, though?
Yeah,
like,
people
have
tweeted. They're like,
oh,
I just saw you on, like, I Love Whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was, but...
Yeah, I Love Cough Syrup.
Oh, God. It was... I don't...
In what fashion were you high when you were on that?
I was stoned. Well, I was visiting... I was in, like, a long-distance relationship from New York to L.A. for, like, 7 months. So, like, I would come to L.A. and, like, I really...
Where were you living? New York?
I was living in New York.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the idea of a dispensary, like, especially coming from Texas, where, like, weed is so demonized, like, the idea of a dispensary just really...
Appealed to
you. I really took advantage of that and would be so fucking stoned on, like, weed, like, Fruity Pebble treats and, like, weed grape
Edibles.
Soda. And, like, just, like, any, like...
And then you do your L.A. business, which is, like, talking heads.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, auditions, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I did, like, voiceover stuff with, like, Ben Jones for this show called Problem Solvers, and I did, like...
Like, you were an animated character.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be doing that for the first time on Thursday.
You your voice is, like, kind of perfect.
You know, people say I have a face for radio and a voice for cartoons, you know? So, yeah, I'm gonna be playing a Russian diplomat on Thursday.
Can I get a little taste?
Ну, что я могу сказать? Только... Well, I have to do a deep voice. Ну, что я хочу сказать,
это
что мой русский очень плохой. And then I'm going to be playing his translator so that you can understand what I said. This is a less deep voice, of course.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous because my Russian is poor. It is for my friend. It has a show on some company called ADHD.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I worked there for a while. I did a voice for their show, Stoned Quackers.
Well, then it's okay that you were stoned if you were doing a voice on a show called Stoned Quackers.
I mean, you can...
I don't know what
like
the show
probably the safest place to be stoned.
Yeah.
Is because they're, like, they don't see your face. You can show up in, like, sweats or, like, PJs or something.
I'll
it doesn't matter what
naked.
You look like. Yeah, do it.
I mean...
Why not?
I got a confession to make.
Yeah, tell
me
about it.
To all your fans.
Yeah.
I've never been stoned.
No way!
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been drunk for sure.
Yeah,
But I've never smoked weed, you know?
Oh,
I've never used any hard drugs.
I mean, I don't know.
I've never used party drugs.
That's cool.
The only thing I've ever done...
I mean, you could go your whole life without using party drugs, but I think weed is something that should definitely be experimented with.
No, I don't want it. It's like so kind of gross to me, and like it's not. It's like the least cool thing I could ever think of.
I think it's definitely like the least cool subculture. Like, I think marijuana culture is
so
lame and like so not. It's so tasteless and like aesthetically so gross.
Yes, so bad.
But
I'm really shallow. Like, I'm driven by things that I think are like. Cool, like that legitimately seem like subversive and just the way they look and feel informally, you know, and weed is like the least, you know, in that way to me.
Yeah, I don't
it's like I would say like literally like a very popular sport is more subversive than like weed to me, like,
but I think your experience with weed is like
make it personal,
you know,
baby. No shade for me. I'm just telling you where I'm coming
from.
But
I think it's different for each person, you know? Like, I think your experience with weed doesn't have to be... What?
Nothing.
I mean, I don't know.
Max Duck. You know him?
That's
a good name,
him.
Right?
It's a great
name.
I love
that name.
Think an 80s cartoon character. And,
what animal would it be? Maximum duck. Okay. So you kind of had these opportunities. You didn't quite go for it, but you did go for the whole long-distance relationship for 4 years. Totally. Since that person.
Well,
that
we were in long-distance for like 7 months, and then we were together for like...
What? You moved here? He moved there?
I moved here.
Don't you feel like long-distance is like... simultaneously like this exponentially more powerful emotional thing and also so fake?
I don't know, because I'm currently in one.
No, you're not.
Yeah, well, he's here right now.
Oh, but
he lives in
live?
New York.
Oh, why? That's where he's from and stuff?
He's from LA.
Why does he live in New York?
I don't know.
Is he doing something? It. Is he trying to like accomplish some New York based like goal?
I don't know. He's like a skater.
You can skate here.
Yeah, but I guess the thing is, like, there you can, like, skate in the streets and, like, skate all over the city, whereas here it's, like, kind of hard to skate from here to Venice.
I mean, look, the two epicenters of skate culture historically are, like, Los Angeles / Orange County and New York.
Yeah.
So I think the cultures are different but comparably influential. So if he's trying to, like, pro skate...
But I think practically...
He just likes living in skate world. Whereas here, you have to, like, drive a car to go to skate world.
And he doesn't have a license.
Right. Okay, well, whatever. I'm not trying to delve into... Like, he's not here to defend himself or explain. So we could speculate all we want. But what we can comment on is, like, don't you feel like that there's something, like, beautiful but so artificial about long distance?
What is artificial about it?
Well, you just knowing that there's someone out there... really far away that is like valuing you and thinking about you and cherishing you, like, tends to put someone in this like really like cloud nine, or at least for me when I was in one, I just felt so like emotionally valued, but at the same time I didn't have to experience any of the sort of like challenges
or
like realities of being in a relationship, which are hard.
I totally experienced that, like, after the 7 months,
right,
you know, and moving back to LA. Yeah, it's like I not only like moved to LA, I was having this like weird transitional period, but I was also like ended up staying with him.
Yeah, you moved
for
in
a
with
while.
Him,
yeah. Right? And it's kind of like you said, it's like when he would visit, he'd be here for like a couple weeks or something.
Special. It's like vacation.
Yeah, it's exactly like vacation. That's where I was going with that. Like, you know, you take off a lot of time and you just like really focus on that person because they're not going to be here
for
very long.
And it's fun. Like, and you know there's an expiration date.
Yeah.
So you like, why would you fight?
Yeah.
Because you only have these like week and a half, two weeks.
But with my current relationship, where I feel like it's a little different, is he's here for like months at a time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not as vacation-y.
That's good.
He's flirting with the idea of moving here.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna leave it up to you. I think months at a time is good. Like, I think a relationship could definitely last like 8 on, 4 off over the course of a year. You know,
I think
that might not be where you're at, but I'm just saying. Like, I think that's good. Like, my friend has a theory that evolutionarily, like, maybe in a way, since we're supposed to procreate, like maybe in a way, you're not supposed to have sex with the person you love for like 4 months out of the year, because for like months 5 through 9 of the pregnancy, like, they're potentially like unfuckable, or like, you know, so then you guys like kind of stay away, or you have like kind of like a weird sex that's like not very like physically active, and then you stay away so that when the baby pops out and there's like a month of recovery afterwards, you're like so drawn to that person again, because intimacy is a hard thing to maintain over a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you were in that four-year relationship, like, I'm going to just throw it out there. You don't have to go into it. But, like, probably the last 2 years, like, you know, dude wasn't getting as hard as easily and you weren't getting as wet as easily, you know, not to put in such crude terms. But attraction is a tough thing to maintain over, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had to get creative.
For sure. You got any tips?
Oh, gosh.
I'm in the longest relationship of my life right now.
Really? How long?
A year and a half. I've hit a year and a half, and I'm much older than you.
Yeah.
And I usually break up around five months, because I start getting, you know, bored and seeing all the flaws and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, love shouldn't be work. Like, love should be, like, incredible.
Yeah.
And when it starts being work, like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But actually now it's I realize I'm like, in such a great relationship, and, like, I'm with this girl, Joan, and I love her, and she's really special, and, like, we never, barely ever fight. But, you know, I'm in this place where I've never been, where it's like, okay, whoa, now it's like... not like, bam, like I'm hard every like 3 hours, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say get funky with it. You know,
funky, like don't shower for a week, both of us?
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm just kidding. Regardless of how long you guys are together.
Funky is such a funny word. Don't you feel like that's the sort of word that like your handlers at MTV use? Like it's weird totally. That you as a 24-year-old or whatever, you're using that. Like, oh, you gotta get so funky, get edgy.
I hang out with like older people. Yeah, edgy was a word that they did use.
Oh
a
my
lot,
god.
Though.
Funky and
alternative.
Edgy.
Which like at that age, yeah. Like yeah. I hadn't really heard. Now I hear it more like sort of parody than like
yeah,
internet
like
culture.
Alt bro and shit.
Yeah.
Post hipster runoff.
Yeah.
Like was that something you were reading when you were like 18?
Totally.
Hipster runoff, right?
And we had like sort of this like weird internet relationship.
You and Carlos?
Yeah.
Like he would talk about your show?
Yeah. He
oh,
like
that's
posted
good.
Posted like a couple things.
Yeah, that man is very perceptive and I found that blog to be very enjoyable when
yeah,
I was like whatever.
I loved it. What is our generation's
Carls now
though?
I was probably his age. I enjoy the thing called Clickhole.
Oh yeah, I love Clickhole. But I feel like that's not as
different.
Niche.
I'm not saying it's the
you
same
know what
thing.
I mean?
What'd you say?
I feel like that's not as niche.
Yeah, it's more like a straight satire. It doesn't actually... It's very rare that a Clickhole thing will reflect a certain psychological astuteness about, like, a personal experience, uh-huh. Right? It more is like a satire attack on the culture at large, which could connect with people who are paying attention to, like, memes yeah. or politics or whatever, or gender or politics or something. But, like, Carlos was good because he was... like really like analyzing and coming to conclusions about like culture that were felt personal. You know what I mean? I don't know what the equivalent is to that now. Like I'm sure there are like, you know, there are probably internet artists who are engaging with things like that, like John Raffman or like Ryder Rips, or do you know people like that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I met Ryder when I lived in New York.
Yeah. I'm trying to like in the movies that I'm writing deal with that sort of stuff, for better or worse. I have a movie coming out soon.
Yeah.
Did you know that? In October, I have a movie coming out.
What movie?
It's a romantic comedy. About exes.
Ooh.
Are you friends with any of your exes?
I am friends with the long-term ex. I mean...
And he still lives here.
Still lives here.
And do you guys ever, like, hang out? Like, do you, like,
I mean,
go get, like, a dinner together?
Not really lately. Mm-hmm. I think he took the breakup kind of hard. So it was, we had to separate
right,
from each other
sure.
for a while.
Because you don't want
to
be hanging with him and he's wishing he's still with you
yeah.
and shit. You don't need that.
We like met up like a few times and we still like on and off. We'll have like a few months where we'll like text
phone
each
text.
Other and talk to you.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
where you were just like kind of like, hey, like this movie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have, like, ill feelings towards each other. And they're, like, you know, when you're
what
with...
is who is your oldest friend? Like, do you have a friend from... Like, who is the friend that's known you the longest?
I'd say I was just texting with my friend Troy, who I've known since I was in, like, 7th grade.
Mm-hmm. And you value that, right?
I do value that. I mean, we've just grown so far apart. Like, we're so different now, and our
yeah.
lives are so different.
But it's
so
interesting to
it's
reconnect.
Like, yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like... I've had so many different cultural experiences that have shaped, like, my personality, my sense
yeah.
of humor, like, my aesthetic, and he's sort of been sitting in the same town for
does
so long.
Does that make
long.
You feel guilty?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Does it make you feel so guilty that you, like, can't even reach out, and then, like, he had to reach out or something?
Yeah, I have a hard time reaching out to a lot of people back
because you kind of feel
especially
guilty.
People that were, like, on the show that, like, experienced
did anyone,
the taste
like,
of that
blow
lifestyle.
Up? Did anyone get more blown up than you? Like, did somebody have a successful, like, acting slash, like,
no.
public persona?
I'm definitely, like,
well, you were the star.
Yeah.
But that would be funny if some, like, tertiary character is now Jennifer Lawrence.
No, I mean, they're all back in Texas, like, slinging pizzas and stuff.
Does it feel
working,
weird
like,
to even
magnet
say
factories.
That?
What do you mean?
Well, because there's like an added layer, right? There's one layer where you're like, I feel guilty, like my life, I've had so many experiences, and like they're still in that town. And then there's that second layer where you're like, shit, like how whack is it of me to like talk about like my privileged experience because I'm like passing judgment on the fact that maybe their lives are valuable and maybe like my life is invaluable and like maybe they're like doing what they want and they have like children and families and like are good citizens and I'm like a weird swimmer raver.
Raper?
Raver.
Okay.
Racist. I'm the only reason I threw that out there is because like those are thoughts I have, because yeah. I also come from, like, not like you, not on your level, but just, like, you know, I come from, like, a suburban town and yeah. kind of, like,
where?
A lot of people still, just, like, in Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Nassau County. And I don't know. I just, like, it's hard to keep in touch with people because they just still all live there and, like, you know, like, whatever, get drunk on weekends and, like, have a family and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll have thoughts like, oh, it'd be weird to reach out, but I am curious because, like, you know, I had friends. I wasn't, like, totally loner.
Facebook eases that for me. Like, for I get sure. to, like, right. find out what's going on without having to actually
Yeah. You're just interact. Creeping and crawling on there.
Yeah.
So would somebody ever send you, like, a tweet or, like, a direct message or something, and you don't respond to it, but then you, like, look them up and track them for a long time? You probably get a lot of random messages, right?
Yeah, I get so many random messages.
Like, 100 a day.
I don't know about 100.
Okay, look, most...
I recently got my first dick pic on Instagram.
Straight up, direct message dick pic.
Like, full-on direct message. And I was, like, looking at them with my boyfriend.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I was like, I don't know that person. Don't click on that. And then he clicked on it. And then it was
it's like, check mark.
Yeah.
And then he's like, more. She wants it.
Ew, yeah. It was totally, like... And his face was in it. And he was wearing, like, a pool skimmer. Like,
what is
around
that?
His neck. Like, the little net. They used to, like, skim.
A pool skimmer?
Yeah, except the net was out, and he was wearing it like a necklace.
So he
and it was, like, full body, just, like, straight face, just, like, in a bathroom mirror. It was, like, his dick was out, and there was so much foreskin. Like, he didn't even pull it back. It was just, like...
Have you done that before?
What?
Uncircumcised sex?
Person? Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's not that weird. It was just a lot of foreskin.
Yeah, it's not bad. It was just shocking. It was just like, I don't have a problem with foreskin.
It looked like
the sheer amount of foreskin.
Anteater.
Yeah.
What time is it? Oh, I wonder. Oh, okay, we're almost coming to a close.
Oh, wow, that's fast.
So what is the tattoo?
Oh, it's like a deep cuts, like, Star Wars tattoo.
Oh, really? Star Wars? Are you a fan?
It looks like tribal, yeah.
It looks a little bit like dragon-y / flowery.
Yeah.
It's like, I love dragons, flowers, and other weirdly, like, generically Asian, like, bullshit.
No, that would be way cooler than what it actually is.
Yeah. Let me see it. Is it, like, what is that supposed to be? It's supposed to be, like, Darth Maul or something?
No, that would be cooler. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if that would be cooler. Darth Maul is pretty tight, though.
Yeah.
This is...
I guess I don't care.
Yeah.
But you're into it because you're a nerd, but you're also, like, a badass /, like, Hollywood.
Yeah, sure. Like, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Are you excited for the new Star Wars movie?
Yeah, I have to be honest. Like, I want to be... Like, I'm not
the, like...
You want
it to be good.
I don't have any expectations, but I'm, like, I'm so interested to see what he's going to do with it. And the direction that they're going with it is there's not going to be a lot of CGI.
Yeah, I know.
They're trying to make as much of it, like
puppetry,
real, like, models.
And, like, models and shit. Yeah.
So I'm interested about that.
I thought the first trailer looked really good, and then subsequent trailers have looked kind of, like, not as interesting to me.
Yeah.
I thought Jurassic World was a horrible movie, like one of the worst movies. Did you see it?
No, I'm so desperate to see it. I want to see it so bad.
You didn't miss anything. It's shitty, in my opinion. Very bad direction, very bad writing. It didn't look cool, and the moments that are supposed to be, like, moments were whack. No good set pieces, no good, like, revelatory things. It's really bad. Why? Did you hear a lot of good things about it?
No, I was just, you know, I'm into Jurassic Park. Yeah. So
you missed the greatest thing. So I hated the movie, but the experience of watching it was a delight for me because I saw it in 4D.
Oh,
are you familiar with this?
I am so familiar with it, but I don't have the cash to spend on such a fleeting thing.
I went on a Tuesday during the day,
yeah,
and it cost $15.50. That's practically going to the ArcLight at night.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like,
that was like $30 or something.
Well, it is if you go like on a Friday night. But it made the movie. It was so cool. And, you know, we are very lucky here in Southern California. This is the only 4D facility in the entire country.
Wow.
So,
it's downtown, right?
What?
It's downtown?
LA Live, exactly.
Oh, sick.
And it's the only, you know, I was sitting there and the seat's shaking and the water's spraying on me and the hot air. And
sick.
I was laughing. I was giggling. I was enjoying the ride. But the movie wasn't terrible. Okay, any last thoughts, Liz? Didn't this go by so quick?
Yeah, it went by super quick.
It always does. It always does. You've been a great guest. Any last thoughts?
Gosh.
So what's up next for you?
What's up next? I just had like a little featured role on this new like Judd Apatow.
Are you allowed to talk about this?
I mean, there's already been like a press release.
What's it called?
It's called Love, and it's going to be on Netflix. Mm-hmm. My friend Leslie, close friend Leslie Arfin, wrote it with her fiance, Paul Rust. And
Paul, that's not Paul Rudd now. That's Paul Rust.
Rust. Yeah.
Just change a few letters.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I think the concept is really cool, and I like her. I think she's funny. I think her.
So she's writing and directing it, and Apatow's producing it.
She's. I don't know. I don't think she's directing it, but she wrote it. She wrote this book. I think it's called Dear Diary. Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe that's wrong.
It's her good friend, and you haven't read her book.
No.
You're kind of like a bad friend in that
no,
way.
No, come on.
You can still read. Do you have a copy?
No.
She didn't send you a copy, so no, she's not a good
she's
friend.
A bad friend, right?
Well, both of you.
Okay. Well.
Okay, so you just did that, and is it going to be a recurring role or just, like, one little thing?
I don't... We shot it, like, the last week of production.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I think they're already signed up for a second season, so depending on whether I did good or not, I mean...
God, I'm sure you did great. If this radio
That's what
show,
they told me, but, like, would they tell you if you did bad? You know? Like, isn't that so Hollywood to be like, oh, my God, you did great. Oh, my God, I loved it. Oh, you're wonderful. You know,
I think, like, you can tell because, like, you know, I'm a director. So if someone does, like, poorly, I can't lie. I'm really bad at lying.
Mm, yeah.
So I just won't say anything or I'll be like, thank you. Like, I'm really happy we did this or, like, thank you. But I wouldn't tell them they did awesome.
Yeah. I feel like there's a way that people handle talent that's like very like
well you need to have a good bullshitometer, like, you know.
It's terrible.
You should like get it, but I bet you did a good job.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they said I did a good job.
You had
so
six
I gotta trust
lines
them. No,
like maybe, 20
maybe. I don't know how many.
Yeah,
maybe around six.
Oh, okay. Can you say one of them?
No.
Do you don't remember any of the lines? Is one of them, I came here for the shrimp?
No. I don't know. I don't think I can say any of it because it's like a pretty shocking, like, what my character
it's
does.
It's a reveal.
It's
okay,
like,
okay.
Yeah.
I get it. You work in a dungeon. Let's not talk about it. Okay. So, great. That's nice. And then you're doing other stuff like that, and you're maintaining your cool relationship, and you're exploring L.A.
Yeah.
As a straight, sober young woman,
yeah,
who's coming to terms with her freakish sexuality,
yeah,
and her progressive roommates,
yeah.
Eric's here.
Shout out to Audrey Wolin and Mike Vidal and Herschel.
Great hat, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, cool. This has been another episode of Open Up and Bleed. We've had Liz Lee here, and thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And I hope to have you back one day soon.
Yeah, me too. It's not a good time.
When you're plugging your solo album.
Oh, yes.
2016, summer 2016, the Liz Lee Experience, produced by Diplo.
Very excited. Very excited. Big step for me.
Featuring Drake on two of the tracks.
Wow, shh. We haven't released that information yet, so... Well, I don't want Drake's people to get mad.
Yeah, okay, sorry. You know, he can diss you.
Yeah, that's very
if you
true.
Can, don't get him mad. He could meme your ass behind himself, etc. Okay, tune in next week for what I assume will be another incredible guest. Because I literally called you like 41 minutes before we had to do this, right?
Yeah.
And you got a lot going on, so you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.